intend to visit that era, I'd like to invite your attention to one thing Madam Chairman Pro Tem is interested in, because I am interested. A recording of exactly what was said and done at the family's meeting in 2012 A.D.
Impossible.
Just a moment, Justin, Ira put in.
Lazarus, you have refused to talk about that meeting on the grounds that the others who were there can't dispute your version. But a recording would be fair to everyone.
Ira, I didn't say that I would not. I said it was impossible.
I don't follow you.
I can't make a recording of that meeting because I was not there.
You lost me again. All the records and your own statements show that you were there.
Again, we don't have language adequate for time travel. Surely I was there as Woodrow Wilson Smith. I was there, made a hairy nuisance of myself and offended a lot of people. But I did not have a recorder on me. Let's say that Dora and the twins dropped me back there. Me, Lazarus Long, not that younger fellow, and that Ishtar has equipped me with a recorder implanted behind my right kidney with its mini mic surfacing inside my right ear. Okay, let's assume that with such equipment I won't be noticed making a record.
But Ira, what you don't understand, despite having chaired many families' meetings, is that I would not get inside the hall.
In those days, an executive meeting of the families was harder to get into than an espat of witches. The guards were armed and eager. It was a rough period. What identity could I use? Not Woodrow Wilson Smith. He was there. Lazarus Long? There was no Lazarus Long on the family's rolls. Try to fake it as someone eligible but not able to attend? Impossible. There were only a few thousand of us then, and every member was known to a large percentage of the rest. A man who couldn't be vouched for ran a nasty chance of being buried in the basement. No unidentified person ever did get in. We had too much at stake. Hi, Minerva. Come in, honey.
Hi, Lazarus. Ira, am I intruding?
Not at all, dear.
Thank you. Hello, Athene.
Hello, my sister.
Minerva waited to be introduced. Ira said, Minerva, you remember Justin Foote, Chief Archivist?
Certainly. I've worked with him many times. Welcome to Tertius, Mr. Foote.
Thank you, Miss Minerva. Justin Foote liked what he saw. A tall, slender young woman with an erect carriage, a small, firm bust, long chestnut hair worn in a part and brushed straight down. A sober, intelligent face, rather handsome than pretty, but which blossomed into beauty each time she gave one of her quick smiles.
But Ira, I must hurry back to Secundus and apply for rejuvenation.
This young lady has worked with me many times. Oh, yet I've grown so senile I can't place the occasions. Forgive me, dear lady.
Minerva flashed him another of her smiles, then instantly was sober.
My fault, sir. I should have explained it once. When I worked with you, I was a computer. Executive computer of Secundus, serving Mr. Weatherall, then Chairman Pro Tem. But now I'm a flesh and blood, and have been for the past 3 years.
Justin Foote blinked. I see. I hope I do.
I am a prescribed construct, sir, not born of woman. A composite clone of 23 donor parents, forced to maturity in vitro. But the I, that is me, my ego, was the computer who used to work with you when the archives computers needed assistance from the executive computer. Have I made it clear?
All I can say, Miss Minerva, is that I am delighted to meet you in the flesh. Your servant, miss.
Oh, don't call me miss. Call me Minerva. I shouldn't be called miss anyhow. Isn't that honorific reserved for virgins among flesh and bloods? Ishtar, one of my mothers and my chief designer, deflowered me surgically before she woke me. And that ain't all,
came the voice from the ceiling.
Athene, Minerva said reprovingly. Sister, you're embarrassing our guest.
I'm not, but maybe you are, sister mine.
Am I, Mr. Foote? I hope not. But I'm still learning to be a human being. Will you kiss me? I'd like to kiss you. We've known each other almost a century, and I've always liked you. Will you?
Now who's embarrassing him, sister?
Minerva, said Ira. She suddenly sobered. I shouldn't have said that.
Lazarus cut in. Pay no attention to Ira, Justin. He's an old stick in the mud. Minerva's kissing cousin to most of the colony. She's making up for lost time. Furthermore, she is some sort of cousin to practically all of us through her 23 parents. And she's learned how. Kissing her is a treat. Athene, let your sis be while she adds on another kissing cousin.
Yes, Lazarus, old buddy boy.
Tina, if I could reach through that string of wires, I'd spank you. Lazarus added. Go ahead, Justin.
Minerva, I haven't kissed a girl in many years, out of practice.
Mr. Foote, I did not mean to embarrass you. I am simply delighted to see you again. You need not kiss me, or if you are willing to kiss me in private, you are most welcome.
Don't risk it, Justin, advised the computer. I'm your friend.
Athene.
I was about to add, said the chief archivist, that I probably need practice in learning to be a human being more than you do. If you'll put up with my rustiness, cousin, I accept your sweet offer. Brace yourself.
Minerva smiled quickly, went into his arms, flowed up against him like a cat, closed her eyes, and opened her mouth. Ira studied a paper on his desk. Lazarus did not even pretend not to watch. He noted that Justin Foote put his heart into the matter. The old buzzard might be out of practice, but he hadn't forgotten the basics. When they broke, the computer gave a respectful whistle.
Ooh! Justin, welcome to the club!
Yes, Ira said dryly. A person can't be said to be officially on Tertius until he or she has been welcomed with a kiss from Minerva. Now that protocol is satisfied, sit down. Minerva, my dear, you came for some purpose.
Yes, sir.
She settled down by Justin Foote on a couch facing Ira and Lazarus, took Justin's hand.
I was in the Dora with the twins, and Dora was drilling them in astrogation when the packet showed up in our sky and...
Hold it, Lazarus interrupted. Did the brats track it?
Certainly, Lazarus. A live exercise? Dora would never miss such a chance. She split herself instantly and made each of them track it independently. But once the outer packet grounded, I asked Dora to ask Athene who was in it. And as soon as the pot opened, my sisters told me, Justin. She squeezed his hand. And I hurried to greet you and to offer some arrangements. Ira, has Justin been provided for? A place to sleep? Things like that?
Not yet, my dear. We were just starting to talk. He's barely had time to shake off the anesthetic. Foote remarked,
I think the antidote has taken hold.
The computer added,
Cousin Justin just had a second dose, Ira. Pulse fast, but steady.
That's enough, Athene. Were you going to suggest something, my dear?
Yes. I swung past the house and spoke with Ishtar. We are in agreement, subject to approval of you and Lazarus.
You mean we get a vote? Lazarus put in. Justin, this planet is run by its women.
Isn't that true everywhere?
No, just most of them. I remember a place where a wedding ceremony always concluded by killing the bride's mother if she hadn't been used up earlier. I thought that was overdoing it, but it did tend to...
Stow it, Grandpappy,
Ira said mildly.
Justin would have to edit it out. Justin, what Minerva has been saying is that our house is yours, Lazarus.
Certainly. It's a madhouse, Justin, but the cooking is okay. And the price is right. Free, that is. It's just your nerves that pay.
Really, I have no intention of imposing. Isn't there someone who can rent me a room? And not for money. I assume that the Secundus money is not negotiable here. But for artifacts I fetched? Things you don't make as yet?
Lazarus answered,
You can negotiate Secunda's money through me if you need to. As for artifacts, you may be surprised at what we are making.
I might not be. I know that a universal pantograph was moved here, so I fetched new creative items, mostly entertainments. Solid cubes and such, musical archies, pornies, dreams, other sorts, all published since you folks left Secundus.
Well planned, Lazarus added. I think colonizing was more fun back when pioneers had no choice but to step in and slug it out and you weren't sure who was going to win, you or the planet. The way we do it now is like swatting an insect with a sledgehammer. Justin, your creepies will fetch a high price, but sell them in dribbles, because each one will be copied as soon as you turn it loose. No copyright. There's no way to enforce it. But it still won't rent your room. We're at the staying with kinfolk stage. You'd best accept our offer. It rains most every night this time of year.
Justin Foot looked baffled. I have misgivings about invading your privacy. Ira, can I borrow this couch I'm sitting on for a short time? Then...
Stow it, Justin. Lazarus stood up. Son, you're suffering from big city attitudes. You're welcome for a week or for a century. You're not only my lineal descendant through Harriet Foot, I think, but you're a kissing cousin of Minerva's. Let's take him home, Minerva. What did you do with my hellions?
They're outside.
Trust you staked them down.
No, but they were somewhat miffed.
Good for their metabolism. Ira, declare a holiday.
I will, as soon as I've gone over the ore converter plans with Athene.
When are you going to find out from her what she's decided?
You can say that again, said the computer.
Tina, Lazarus said mildly, you've been associating with Dora too much. When Minerva had your job, she was sweet, gentle, respectful, and humble.
Any complaints about my work, Grandpappy?
Just your manners, dear, in the presence of a guest.
Justin isn't a guest, he's family. He's my sister's kissing cousin, so he's mine, too. Logical?
QED. I disdain to argue. Watch out for Tina, Justin. She'll trap you.
I find Athene's reasoning not only logical, but warmly pleasing. Thank you, my kissing cousin. I like you, Justin. You were sweet to my sister. Don't worry about me trapping you. I don't plan to accept a clone for at least 100 years. First, I've got to get this planet organized. So don't wait up. You'll see me in about a century. You'll recognize me. I'll look exactly like Minerva.
But noisier.
Lazarus, you say the sweetest things. Kiss him for me, twin sister.
Let's go, Minerva. Tina's got me mixed up again.
Just a moment, Lazarus, please. Ira, I made other arrangements through Ishtar, but only tentatively, not being sure of Justin's wishes.
Oh, I don't know them either. Do you want me to ask him?
Yes.
On your behalf? Minerva looked startled. Justin Foot looked puzzled. Athene said, Let's cut through the fog, Justin. Minerva was asking Ira whether or not you want her to find you a guest wife. Ira says he doesn't know, but we'll find out. Then asked her if she was volunteering for the privilege. All clear? Justin, my sister is so new at being flesh and blood that she sometimes isn't sure of herself.
Lazarus reflected that he had not seen a girl blush. For that reason, for 3 centuries or more. Nor did the two men look at ease. He said reprovingly,
Tina, you're an excellent engineer and a lousy diplomat.
What? Oh, nonsense. I saved them billions of nanoseconds.
Shut up, dear. Your circuits are scrambled.
Justin, I saved them billions of nanoseconds.
Shut up, dear. Your circuits are scrambled.
Justin, Minerva is almost certainly the only girl on this planet who could be fussed by Tina's unhelpful help, because she is probably the only one who shows any tendency to stick to one man.
The computer giggled.
I told you to keep still,
Lazarus said sternly. Iris said quietly, Minerva is a free agent, Lazarus.
Who said she wasn't? And you keep quiet, too, until the senior, that's me, son, finishes speaking.
Justin, Minerva will find you a dinner partner. Has found one, I think. After that, you're on your own.
If you and your dinner partner don't hit it off, no doubt you'll be able to work out something else. Tina, I'm going to switch you off at the house tonight. I am uninviting you to dinner. You haven't learned how to behave in company.
Oh, Lazarus, I didn't mean to steal your pig.
Well,
Lazarus looked around. Iris' face was impassive. Minerva looked unhappy. Justin Foote spoke up. Senior, I'm sure Finney did not mean any harm. I do appreciate her declaring me her kissing cousin. I found it warmly friendly. I hope you will reconsider and let her join us at dinner.
Very well, Tina. Justin has intervened for you. But between you and Dora and the twins, I'm beginning to need a Nauru to ride herd on you kids. Justin? Minerva? Let's go. Ira, Tina, see you at the house. Don't waste time on that converter, Ira. Tina did a perfect job.
Outside the colonial headquarters, Justin Foote found a null boat waiting. Not the one that had fetched him from the skyfield. This one had a pair of red-headed twins in it. Girls. Although they looked as if they had just recently made up their minds. 12, perhaps 13. Both were wearing gun belts on skinny hips, with what he hoped were toy guns. One was wearing captain's insignia on bare shoulders. Each wore 11,300 and two freckles, as near as he could estimate. Both jumped out of the boat, waited. One set of freckles said, "About time." The other said, "Discrimination." Lazarus said, "Pipe down and be polite.
Justin, these are my twin daughters, Lapis Lazuli, and that one's Lorelei Lee.
Mr. Justin Foote, dears, chief archivist for the trustees."
The girls glanced at each other, then curtsied deeply in perfect unison. "Welcome to Tertius, chief archivist Foote," they said in chorus.
Charming.
"Yes, girls, that was nice. Who taught you?"
"Mama Hamadryad taught us. And Mama Ishtar said this would be a good time to do it. But I'm Lori, she's Lazzy."
"You're both lazy," said Lazarus.
"I'm Captain Lapis Lazuli Long, commanding Starship Dora, and she's my crew. Even-numbered day. Till tomorrow, odd-numbered day. Lazarus can't tell us apart, and he's not our father. We never had one. He's our brother, no real authority. He just dominates us by brute strength. But someday that will change."
"Into the boat, you mutinous hellions,"
Lazarus said cheerfully,
"before I bust you back to apprentice spaceman."
They jumped into the boat, sat forward, facing aft.
"Threats. With abusive language. And without due process."
Lazarus did not seem to hear them. He and Justin handed Minerva into the boat, seated her aft and facing forward. They took seats, cornering her.
"Captain Lazuli?"
"Yes, sir."
"Will you please tell the boat to take us home?"
"Aye, aye, sir. Humpty Dumpty, home."
The little craft started up, hit a steady 10 knots, waddling to changing contours of the ground. Lazarus said,
"And now, Captain, having confused our guest, please straighten him out."
"Yes, sir. We are not twins. We don't even have the same mother.
And old Buddy Boy is not our father. He's our brother. Even number day. Then make it March.
Correction, said Lazarus. I'm your father because I adopted you with written consent of your mother's.
Irrelevant. And illegal. It was not with our consent. And immaterial in any case, as we three, Lazarus, Lorelei, and I, are identical twins and therefore enjoy the same rights under any rational jurisdiction, which unfortunately this is not. So he beats us, illegally and brutally.
Captain, remind me to get a bigger club.
Aye, aye, sir. But we're fond of Buddy Boy anyhow, despite his misogynistic behavior, because he's really us, you see? Captain, I'm not sure I do. I think I slid through a space warp on the way here and failed to come out.
The even-numbered day captain shook her head.
Sorry, sir, but that's not possible. I must ask you to take my word for it. Unless you can handle imperial numbers in Libby field physics. Can you?
No. Can you?
Oh, certainly. We're geniuses.
Quit trying to snow him, kids, and belay that order. I'll explain it myself.
I wish you would, Lazarus. I wasn't aware that you had any minor children or sisters, which I find even more confusing. Are they registered? While I can't see everything that goes into the files for many years, there has been an automatic relay to my attention on anything concerning the senior.
Which I knew, and that's why you didn't see it.
Registered?
Yes, but by their mother's names. Host mothers, actually, but not so reported. But I left a delay mail sealed registration of the actual genealogy involved, to be opened by you or your successor on my death, or in year 2070 of the diaspora, whichever comes first, to ensure that they will receive certain knick-knacks, such as my second-best bed.
And the Dora?
Pipe down. Keep butting in, and your sister gets the Dora, and you won't be captain even on alternate days. I picked that date, Justin, because I expect them to be adults by then. They really are geniuses. Ugh. I will not attempt time travel until then, as they are captain and crew of my yacht. Only while groundside now, but in space by then. As to how they are my sisters, and they are, and illegal, prescribed, rather, by Secundus Clinic. A clandestine surgical procedure was used to clone them from me. Somewhat like Minerva's case, but simpler.
Much simpler, agreed Minerva. I operated for me when I was still a computer and failed 17 times before I achieved a perfect clone. I couldn't do it now, although Athene would be able to. But our girls were cloned by a flesh-and-blood surgeon. Replication of the X chromosome was all that was necessary, and did it in both cases in one try. Laz and Lore were born the same day. Yes, I think that Madam Director Dr. Hildegard would take a sour view of such things, with no reflection on the lady's professional competence. But high, I assume, I find her a bit, conservative.
Murderous.
Primitive totalitarian. Three times over. For what right has she to say that we can't exist? Or Minerva, crypto-criminal mind.
That's enough, girls. You made your point. You don't like her.
She would have murdered you too, old Buddy Boy.
Lori, I said that was enough. Stipulated that if Nellie Hildegard's policies had been carried out, I wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. Laz wouldn't be here, nor would Minerva. But she's not a murderess, as all four of us are here.
And I am delighted, Justin Foote commented, to have three charming young ladies added to our families through breaking rules proves something I have long suspected. Rules serve best when broken. A wise man. And with dimples, too. Mr. Foote, would you like to marry me and my sister? Say yes. She can cook, but I'm cuddly.
Minerva said, stop it, girls.
Why? Have you got him staked out already? Was that why we couldn't come in?
Mr. Foot, Minerva is Mama Pro Tem to us by edict, which is patently unfair. She is actually years and years younger than we are, and it gives us three mothers to dodge instead of the regulation one.
Belay that, Lazarus ordered. Both of you can cook, but neither of you is very cuddly.
Then why do you cuddle us, buddy boy? Suppressed incestuous yearning, perhaps?
Maird, because you both are immature, insecure, and frightened.
The redheads looked at each other. Lori?
I heard it, unless I'm hallucinating.
No, I heard it too. Is it time to cry?
We better save it. Mr. Foot wouldn't want to see how our buddy boy goes all to pieces when we cry.
We'll save it. That makes two cries and a chin quivering he's got coming. Unless Mr. Foot would like to see it. Would you, Mr. Foot?
Justin, I'll sell either one of them cheap. Still better price on a package deal.
thank you, Lazarus, but I'm afraid they might cry at me. Then I would go all to pieces. Can we change the subject? How did you manage to put over this triple, irregularity, may one ask? Dr. Hildegard runs a very taut organization.
Well, in the case of those two little angels over there,
sarcasm now,
and not clever. I was flummoxed quite as much as Nellie Hildegard. At the time, Ishtar Hardy, that one's mother.
No, her mother.
You two are interchangeable parts, and besides, you were mixed up the week you were born, and nobody knows which you are. You don't know yourself.
Oh, yes, I do. Sometimes she goes away, but I'm always right here.
Lazarus paused in mid-flight, looked thoughtful. That may be the most succinct statement of a solipsist thesis I've ever heard. Write it down.
If I did, you'd take credit for it.
I simply want to save it for posterity, a notion incompatible with the thesis itself. Minerva, you preserve it for me.
Recorded, Lazarus.
Minerva has almost as exact a memory as she had when she was a computer. I was saying, Ishtar was temporarily clinic boss, Nellie having gone on leave, so access to my tissue was no problem. I was then in a state of acute anhedonia, and their mothers kicked up this notion for restoring my interest in life. The only problem was to do gene surgery not permitted by the rules of Secundus Clinic. How and who, I was told firmly not to inquire. You can ask Minerva, she was in on the swindle.
Lazarus, that was a memory I did not bring along when I was selecting what to fit into this skull.
You see, Justin, I'm allowed to know only what they think is good for me. As may be. This heroic treatment worked. I have not been bored since. Other descriptors might apply, but not that one.
Lori, do you sense a double entendre?
No, merely a thinly veiled innuendo. Ignore it with dignity.
But at first I didn't know my odd relationship to this pair. Oh, I couldn't help knowing that Ishtar and Hamadryad, one of Ira's daughters, you've met her.
Oh, years back. A lovely girl.
Quite. Both of their mothers are lovely. I couldn't help knowing that both were pregnant. They were spending most of their time with me. But although they were swelling up like poisoned pups, they ignored it, so I didn't inquire.
Justin nodded. Privacy?
Nah, just hard-nosed. I've never let the privacy custom keep me from snooping when it suited me. I was miffed, that's all. Here two girls are with me every day and like daughters to me, and obviously as knocked up as Pharaoh's daughter, and they tell me nit. So I got stubborn and outsat them. Till one day, Galahad, he's their husband. Well, not exactly. You'll see. Galahad invites me downstairs. And here they have, one each, the two prettiest little redheads I ever saw.
Shall we let him off, one cry?
You got over it. You both look like me now.
Or do we add a third cry for that?
I still don't smell a mouse. I'm simply pleased, as well as amazed, that they had produced babies that looked like identical twins. Which we are, except that we're triplets. But some weeks of playing with these babies causes my natural genius and suspicious mind to infer that the girls have pulled... a whizzer. I was not then in the sperm bank, so far as I knew. But I am well aware of tricks that can be played on a helpless client undergoing antigerium. So with unerring logic, I reach the wrong answer. These babies are my daughters by artificial insemination unmentioned to me. So I accuse them of it, and they deny it. And I explain that I am not angry, but quite the contrary, I hope these little cherubs are mine. Cherubs? Ignore it. He's simply trying to con Mr. Foote. Cherubs at that time, I mean, aside from a tendency to bite. That I want them to be mine and share my name and fortunes. So they confer with their fellow conspirators, Minerva and Galahad. Minerva was in it, up to her overload safeties.
Lazarus, you needed a family.
Quite right, dear. I'm always better off with a family. It keeps me harmlessly occupied and unbored. Justin, did I mention that Minerva allowed me to adopt her? We weren't asked. Look, kids, under the loose rules of this termite hill, I can unadopt you this minute, if such be your wish. Cut the tie. Be just your genetic brother through circumstances. I had no more part in than you had. Renounce all authority over you two. Let me know.
The two girls looked at each other briefly. Then one said, Lazarus?
Yes, Laura Lee.
Lapis Lazuli and I have discussed it, and we both think that you are just exactly the father we want.
Thank you, my dears.
And to confirm it, we are canceling two cries and a chin quiver.
That's most pleasing.
And besides that, we want to be cuddled, because we are feeling very immature, insecure, and frightened. Lazarus blinked.
I don't want you to feel that way ever, but, well, can the cuddling wait?
Oh, certainly. Father, we know we have a guest, but perhaps you and Mr. Foote would join us in bathing before dinner?
Well, Justin, bathing with my hellions is squirmy but fun. I don't do it often because they turn it into a social event and waste time. Suit yourself, don't let your arm be twisted.
A bath I certainly need. I was clean when I was sealed into that pod, but how long was I in it? I really don't know. And a bath should always be a social event if there is time and good company. Yeah, thank you, ladies. I accept.
And I accept, too, put in Minerva. I'm inviting myself. Justin, Tertius is primitive compared with Secundus, but our family refresher is nice and quite large enough for sociability. Decadent, as Lazarus calls it.
I designed it to be decadent, Justin. Good plumbing is the finest flower of decadence, and one I have always enjoyed when I could get it.
My clothes are still in Ira's office, even my toiletries. Absent-minded, I'm sorry.
No matter, Ira may fetch your bag. But he's absent-minded, too. Depilatories, deodorant, scents, no problem. I'll lend you a toga or something.
Buddy boy, the father, does that mean we dress for dinner?
Call me buddy boy. I'm hardened to it. Go as far as you like, darlings, except that, as usual, Mama Hamadryad must okay any cosmetics. Back to how I acquired these daughters, who are my sisters, Justin. Having conferred, this gang of genetic pirates came clean and threw themselves on the mercy of the court, me. So, I adopted these two, and we registered them, and the registration will be straightened out one day, as I explained. How Minerva gave up the profession of computer and assumed the sorrows that flesh is heir to is a longer story. Want to synopsize it, dear? And fill him in later if you wish.
Yes, Father.
None of your lip, dear.
You're a grown woman now. Justin, when we oaked this darling, she was about the size and biological age of those two reformed hellions. Remind me to take their temperatures, Minerva. I adopted Minerva because she needed a father then. Doesn't now.
Lazarus, I will always need you as my father.
Thank you, dear. But I take that only as a pleasing compliment. Tell Justin your story.
All right. Justin, are you familiar with the theories concerning self-awareness in computers?
Several of them. As you know, my work is mostly with computers.
Permit me to say, speaking from experience, all theories are empty. How a computer becomes self-aware remains as much a mystery, even to computers, as the age-old mystery of flesh and blood self-awareness. It just is. But, so far as I've heard, quite far in view of the library that was locked to my memories then, and is still in Athene's memories, self-awareness never arises in a computer designed only for deductive logic and mathematical calculations, no matter how big it is. But if it is designed for inductive logic, able to assess data, draw hypotheses therefrom, test them, reconstruct them to fit new data, make random comparisons of the results, and change those reconstructions, exercise judgment the way a flesh and blood does, then self-awareness may occur. But I don't know why, and no computer knows. It just does. She smiled. Sorry, I did not mean to sound pedantic. Lazarus figured out that I could go into a blank human brain, a clone brain, using techniques used to conserve memories in rejuvenation clinics. When we discussed this, I had the entire technical library of Secundus Howard Clinic in me, stolen in a way. I no longer have it. I had to pick and choose what to take along when I went into this skull, so I don't remember much of what I did, any more than a rejuvenation client knows all that is done to him. You would have to get details from Athene, who still has them, and who, by the way, never had the rather painful awakening that a computer goes through when it first begins to know itself, because I left a piece of me in Athene. Oh, like a yeast starter. Athene dimly remembers having been Minerva at one time, about the way we flesh and bloods. Minerva straightened up, smiled, and looked proud. Remember a dream as something not quite real. And I remember being Minerva the computer somewhat the same way. I remember all my contacts with people very sharply, because I chose to keep them, replicate them into this skull. But if anyone were to ask how I handled the transport system of New Realm, well, I know that I did, but not how I did it. She smiled again. That's my story. A computer who longed to be a flesh and blood, and who had loving friends who made it possible. And I've never regretted it. I love being flesh and blood, and want to love everybody. She looked at Justin Foote very soberly. Lazarus spoke sooth. I have never been a guest wife. I am only 3 years old as a flesh and blood. Should you choose me, you may find me awkward and shy, but not reluctant. I owe you much.
Minerva, said Lazarus, back him into a corner some other time. He didn't tell Justin what he wanted to know. You left out the hanky-panky.
Oh.
And when you were philosophizing about awareness and computers, you left out the key point, it seems to me. Well, I know, but you may not, even though you've been a computer and I have not. Because this key point applies both to computers and to flesh and bloods. My dear, and Justin, and it won't hurt you two erratic geniuses to listen, all machinery is animistic. Humanistic, I want to say, but that term has been preempted. Any machine is a concept of a human designer. It reflects the human brain, be it wheelbarrow or giant computer. So there is nothing mysterious in a machine designed by a human showing human self-awareness. The mystery lies in awareness itself, wherever it's found. I used to have a folding camp cot that liked to bite me. I don't say that it was aware, but I learned to approach it with caution. But Minerva, darling, I've seen some big computers, almost as smart as you were, that never developed self-awareness. Can you tell us why?
I confess I can't, Lazarus. I'd like to ask Athene when we get home.
She probably doesn't know either. She's never met any other major computer but Dora. Captain Lazuli, how far back do you remember? Once you or your comrade in crime claimed to remember nursing. Suckling, I mean.
Of course we do, doesn't everybody?
No. Me, for example, I was a bottle baby. I don't remember even that. Not worth remembering. In consequence, I've been looking at tits and admiring them ever since. Tell me, one of you, when you remember nursing, can you recall which of your mothers was giving you suck?
Of course, Loreley said scornfully. Mama Ishtar has big tits. And Mama Hamadryad has much smaller ones, even when they're filled with milk. But she gave just as much milk. Different flavor, though. Made it nice to trade off each meal. Variety. But we like both flavors. Tell him, Laz.
Enough. You made the point I wanted. Justin, these kids were self-aware and aware of other people. Their mothers, at least. At an age when a creche baby is just a doughy blob, which says something about why creches have never worked well. I want the counterpoint. Minerva, what do you remember of the time when you were an unawakened clone?
Why, nothing, Lazarus. Oh, some odd dreams when I was putting my selected memories into my new me, this one. But I didn't start that until Ishtar said the clone was big enough. That was not until shortly before I withdrew from my former me and Ishtar woke me. It could not be instantaneous, Justin. A protein brain won't take data at computer speeds. Ishtar had me be very slow and careful. Then for a short time, a short human time, I was both places, computer and skull. Then I surrendered the computer and let it become Pallas Athene. And Ishtar woke me. But Lazarus, a clone in vitro is not aware. It's like a fetus in utero. No stimuli. Correction. Minimum stimuli and nothing that leaves a permanent memory track, unless you count reports of regression under hypnosis.
No need to count them, Lazarus replied. True or false, such cases are irrelevant. The relevant counterpoint is minimum stimuli. Honey, those big computers with awareness potential but without self-awareness are that way because nobody bothered to love the poor things. That's all. Babies or big computers, they become aware through being given lots of personal attention. Love, as it's usually called. Minerva, does that theory match up with your earliest years?
Minerva looked soberly thoughtful. That was about a century ago in human time. Call it a million times that in computer time. I know from the records that I was assembled a few years before Ira took office, but the earliest personal memories I have, and those memories I saved and did not leave in Athene or in the computer in New Rome, the earliest I can remember of me is waiting eagerly and happily for the next time Ira would speak to me.
Lazarus said, I need not belabor the point. With babies, you breastfeed them and nibble their toes and talk to them and blow in their belly buttons and make them laugh. Computers don't have belly buttons, but attention works just as well on them. Justin, Minerva tells me that she left nothing of herself in the computer under the palace.
That is correct. I left it intact as a computer and programmed for all its duties. But I dared not leave any personal memory, any part of me. Could not let it remember that it had once been Minerva. That wouldn't have been fair to it. Lazarus warned me, and I was most careful, checking all the billions of bits and wiping where necessary.
Justin Foote said, I missed a turn somehow. You did this in New Rome, but you've been awake here only 3 years.
3 wonderful years. You see...
Let me interrupt, dear. I'll tell him the hanky-panky. But first, Justin, have you dealt with the executive computer in New Rome since we migrated?
Well, of course you have.
But have you been in the office of Madam Chairman Pro Tem when she was using it?
Why, yeah, several times. Just yesterday. no, I mean, the yesterday before I left. I keep forgetting that I missed transit time.
What name does she use in speaking with it?
I don't think she uses a name. I'm fairly certain she does not.
Oh, the poor thing.
No, Minerva, Lazarus said quietly. You left it in good health. It simply won't wake up until it has a mistress or master who appreciates it, which might not be long. He adds, or master who appreciates it, which might not be long. He added grimly.
Justin Foote said, it might be any time. Lazarus, that old, cancel that. Arabelle loves the spotlight. Appears at public meetings, shows up in the Colosseum, stands up and waves her scarf. Seems odd after the quiet way Ira ran things.
I see. A sitting duck. 7 out of 2, she's assassinated in the next 5 years.
Oh, no bad. I'm a statistician, Lazarus.
So you are. All right. Hanky-panky. Lots of it. Ishtar set up an auxiliary Howard clinic in the palace. Her excuse? Me, the senior. But a cover-up for a much more extensive biofacility. Minerva picked her parents. Ishtar stole the tissues and faked some records. Meanwhile, our skinny friend, my daughter Minerva...
She is not. She's just right for her height and body type and bio age. And deliciously curved.
Had twinned her computer self in a hold of my yacht Dora, placing the contract in my name and charging it to me. And nobody dared inquire why the senior... some advantages to age, especially among Howards. Wanted a huge computer in a yacht that already had one of the fanciest computers in the sky. While back in my borrowed penthouse where nobody was allowed to go, other than a short list, all as dishonest as I am, a clone was growing in a facility installed in a room I didn't need. Comes time to migrate, a very large case containing what was then a very small clone goes to the skyport marked as part of my personal baggage. This baggage between us, of course. And is loaded into the door without inspection. Such being a prerogative of being chairman. For, as you may recall, I didn't hand the gavel back to Arabelle until our transports had lifted, and I was about to raise ship myself, with Ira and the rest of my personal party aboard. While I'm taking the clone aboard, Minerva withdraws herself from the executive computer and is safe and snug in a hold of the Dora, with her gizzards packed with every bit of data in the grand library and the entire records of the Howard Clinic, including secret and confidential stuff. A most satisfying caper, Justin. The most good, clean, illegal fun I've had since we stole the new frontiers. But I'm telling you this not to boast. Or, not much, but to ask if we were as slick as we thought we were. Any rumors? Did you suspect anything amiss? How about Arabelle?
I feel sure that Arabelle does not suspect, nor have I heard of Nellie Hilligard bursting any blood vessels. I suspected something.
Really? Where do we slip?
Heart of the word, Lazarus. Minerva... When I had occasion to consult you while Ira was chairman pro tem, how did we talk?
Why, you were always most friendly, Justin. You always told me why you wanted something instead of just telling me to dig it out. You would chat, too. You were never too much in a hurry to be pleasant. That's why I remember you so warmly.
And that, Lazarus, is why I sniffed something dead behind the arras. You and your party had been gone about a week when I wanted something from the executive computer. When you have an old friend with a pleasant voice, that your voice is unchanged, Minerva. I should have recognized it. But I was bedazzled by your appearance. when you call this old friend and are answered by a flat mechanical voice, and any deviation from programming language is answered by no program, repeat, waiting for program, then you know that an old friend is dead. He smiled at the girl between them. So I can't tell you how delighted I am to learn that my old friend was reborn as a lovely,
young girl. Minerva squeezed his hand, blushed slightly, and said, "Nothing."
Justin, did you compare notes with anyone?
Ancestor, do you think I'm a fool?
I mind my own business. Apology. About grade two. No, you're not a fool. Why don't you go back and work for the old Hardin?
When will the next wave of migrants head this way?
Now, I hate to waste the work I've done on your life, and I would hate to abandon my personal library. Well, sir, no telling when a streetcar will be by this time of night. Discuss it later.
Lazarus added,
"That's our house ahead."
Justin Foote looked, saw a building partly visible through trees, turned back to speak to Minerva.
Something you said earlier, cousin, I did not understand. You said I owe you so much. If I was pleasant to you, at New Rome, I mean, you were at least as pleasant to me. More likely the debt is the other way. You were always most helpful.
Instead of answering, she looked at Lazarus. He said,
"Your business, my dear."
Minerva took a deep breath, then said, "I plan to name 23 of my children for my 23 parents."
"So? That seems most warmly appropriate."
"You're not my cousin, Justin. You're my father. One of them." Variations on a Theme. 14. Bacchanalia. After the track through the gum trees at the northern edge of Boondock swings right, one has a view of the home of Lazarus Long, but I hardly noticed it when I first saw it. I was much bemused by a statement by Minerva Long. "Me? Her father? Me?"
The senior said, "Close your mouth, son. You're making a draft. Dear, you startled him."
"Oh, dear."
"Now quit looking like a frightened fawn, or I'll be forced to hold your nose and administer 2 ounces of 80-proof ethanol disguised as fruit juice. You done nothing wrong, Justin. Does disguised ethanol interest you?"
"Yes," I agreed fervently. I recall a time in my youth when that and one other subject were all I was interested in.
If the other subject wasn't women, we'll find a monastic cubbyhole where you can drag alone. But it was. I know more about you than you think. All right, we'll have a libation, or six. Not those two, they're potential alcoholics.
Slanderous,
though regrettably true.
But we did it only once.
I won't do it again.
Don't commit yourself too far, kids. A Brannigan might sneak up on you. Better to know your resistance than to be tripped through ignorance. Grow up, put on some mass, and you'll be able to cope with it. Or Ishtar mixed up your genes, which she didn't. Now, about this other matter, Justin. Yes, you're one of Minerva's parents. And that's a very high compliment, because those 23 chromosome pairs were picked from tissues of thousands of superior people, using fearsome mathematics to handle the multiplicity of variables, plus Ishtar's knowledge of genetics, and some unnecessary advice from me, before this little darling got the precise mix she wanted.
I started to set up the type problem in my head. Yes, that would be some problem, extremely more difficult than the ordinary genetics problem of advising one male and one female, then dropped it, as I had its delightful answer by her left hand. Lazarus was still speaking.
"Minerva could have been male. 2 meters tall, massing 100 kilos, built like Joe Colossus and hung like a stallion mule. Instead, she elected to be what she is, slender, female, shy. I'm not sure she selected for that last. Did you, dear?"
"No, Lazarus. No one knows which genes control that. I think I get it from Hamadryad."
"I think you got it from a computer I used to know. I took along all of it, as Athene certainly is not shy. Never mind. Some of Minerva's donor parents are dead. Some are alive, but unaware that a bit of tissue from the clone in stasis or from the live tissue bank was borrowed, as in your case. Some know that they are donor parents. Me, for example. And you heard Hammett Dryad mentioned. You'll meet others, some being on Tertius, where it's no secret. But consanguinity is not close for anyone. 123rd? The genetic advisors wouldn't run that through a computer. It's an acceptable risk. Plus the fact that none of us donor parents of Minerva have any known skeletons hanging on our family trees. You can safely have progeny by her. So could I.
But you refused me.
Minerva startled me with the vehemence with which she accused Lazarus of this. For a moment, she was not shy. Her eyes flashed.
Now, dear. You were only a year out of vitro and not fully grown, even though Ishtar forced you past monarchy, still in vitro. Ask me on another occasion. I might startle you.
Startle me? Or surprise me?
Never mind that old joke. Justin, I simply wanted to make clear that your relationship to Minerva, while close enough that it makes Minerva feel sentimental, is in fact so small that you can barely qualify as a kissing cousin.
I feel very sentimental about it, I told the senior. Most pleased and deeply honored, although I can't guess why I was picked.
If you want to know which chromosome pair was swiped from you and why, you'd best ask Ishtar and get her to consult Athene. I doubt if Minerva still knows.
But I do know. I saved those memories. Justin, I wanted to retain some ability in mathematics. It was a choice between you and Libby Professor Owens, so I chose you. You are my friend.
Well, I respect Jake Hardy Owens. I'm merely an applied mathematician. He is a brilliant theoretician.
Whatever your reasons, dear kissing cousin, I am delighted that you chose me as one of your donor fathers.
Grounded, Commodore, announced one of the duplicate redheads. Lapis lazuli, as the little knoll boat clumped to a stop. It appeared to be a Corson farm sled, and I was surprised to see it in a new colony. Lazarus answered,
"Thank you, Captain."
The twins bounced out. The senior and I handed Minerva out. Unnecessary help that she accepted with gracious dignity, that being another aspect of colonial life that surprised me, New Rome being rather short on such archaic ceremony. Over and again I found the boondockers to be both more formally polite and more casually relaxed about it than our secundians. I suppose my notions of frontier life had been fed on too many romances, rough bearded men fighting off dangerous animals, mules hauling covered wagons toward distant horizons.
Captain, Lazuli said, Humpty Dumpty, go to bed.
The null boat waddled away. The little girls joined us, one taking my free hand, the other taking the senior's free hand, with Minerva between us. These freckled flame tops would have had my whole attention had not Minerva been there. I am not compulsively fond of children. Some youngsters seem to me rather poisonous, especially precious ones. But in their case, I found their solemn precocity charming rather than irritating. And to see the senior's features, rugged rather than handsome, with that too large nose, unmistakably reproduced but transformed into piquant girlish features. Well, had I been alone, I would have chuckled with delight. I said, just a moment, and held on to Loyalty's hand, and thereby caused all to pause while I took a second look.
Lazarus, who is the architect?
I don't know, he said. Dead more than 4,000 years. The original belonged to the political boss of Pompeii, a city destroyed about that long ago. I saw a model of it, restored in a museum in a place called Denver, and took pictures. It pleased me. Those pictures are long gone, but it turned out that when I tried to describe it to Athene, she had Sully in the historical section of her gizzards of the ruins of that same house. And from that, in my description, she designed this version. Some minor modes, nothing that changed its sweet proportions. Then Athene built it, using extensionals and radio links. It's practical for this climate. The weather is
much like that of Pompeii, and I prefer a house that looks inward on a court. Safer, even in a place as safe as this one. By the way, where is Athene, the main computer itself, I mean?
Here. She was still in the Dora when she built this, and now she's under the house. She built her underground home first, then built our house on top of it.
Minerva said simply, "A computer prefers to feel safe and close to her own people. Lazarus, forgive me, dear, but have you reversed a time sequence? That was more than 3 years ago."